Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Coming up next, we'll drive down Richmond Highway with Gary Criswell, the voice of high school football, alongside Gary Hess. Talk some 804 broadcast game of the week. We'll go around the NFL with our best matchups of week three. But to close the book on week two, we go inside the mind of the NFL quarterback. What is the most difficult job in sports, if not on the planet? You got every week the opposition is trying to kill you, trying to take you out of the game. You have to process all the information of who's open, who's coming after you in like 2 to 3 seconds of game time. How do quarterbacks succeed? I think it's practice. I think it's film and more practice. We go inside the mind of the NFL starting quarterback on QBIQ.
You know, that is my dream. That's what I want to be. And it's what I believe I am as a quarterback.
Being a professional quarterback is arguably the toughest job in sports, maybe the world.
Quarterback will say, "Hike." That's when the center puts the ball into the hands of the quarterback.
The most important position gets the most attention. We'll take a unique look at the best quarterbacks in the league each week.
It was just much better execution all the way around.
As we go through the lens of NFL quarterbacks with QBIQ.
All right, Stubby, could you name the NFL passing leader 2 weeks into the NFL season?
Is it Baker Mayfield?
No, not even in the top five.
Oh, right, he only got 200. Is it Russ?
It's Russell Wilson. it's Russell freaking Wilson at 618 yards
and
the 0-2 New York Giants. Russell Wilson. Daniel Jones, two giant quarterbacks in the top two. Jones second. Justin Herbert third with his 560 passing yards, and Jared Goff back into the top five after a good week two performance with 559 yards. Jared Goff, we honor you on QBIQ.
Yeah, man, it was important. I think it was important for us to play efficiently. You know, the points are going to come, the wins are going to come, but just to stay on schedule. I think on that first drive, I think we scored in five plays or something. I don't believe we had a third down. Maybe it was third and short or something. That's what we want to kind of get going, that like big chunk play after big chunk play, big chunk run, and just staying on schedule. And then ultimately up front, they want to keep guys off me and limit the sacks and allow me to kind of spread the ball around, and that's playing efficiently. And I thought that showed up incredibly today, and it was good. And at the same time, I will say this though: I thought the first half we could have really opened it up there, and we didn't. And then I thought that was a poor job by us. Our defense got us three turnovers, two in the fourth down stop, and we got 7 points out of that. It's not even close to good enough. And we were able to come out in the second half, play great, obviously. But that first half, there's still little things there, man, that we can clean up.
Jared Goff, great quarterback's got to learn how to breathe outside of the microphone.
Guy's winded.
But it is the quarterback's job to stay on schedule. And Jared Goff, I think, does a terrific job of that. I mean, even week one, he had 79% completion percentage, 82.1 in week two. It's a stat that he's continued to pretty much lead the NFL or be top five in since he went from L.A. to Detroit. And you thought it was Ben Johnson at first. It's just Jared Goff. He has a complete understanding of that Lions offense, and he usually does keep them on schedule, in time, and in rhythm.
A lot of it helps that he's got such good receivers. You know, we're not getting drops that mess with completion percentage. Amon-Ra, J-Mo, and Sam Laporta are just so good at catching the ball, as well as the two backs.
Lamar Jackson, I think, deserves to be honored here on QBIQ. He is almost everything for that Baltimore Ravens team. He's their rusher. He's their thrower. He's their guy that converts the third downs. He is tied for first in the NFL with 6 touchdowns through 2 weeks of the season, and also ran one in, giving him 7 touchdowns on the year. I mean, I'll take that for my starting quarterback. 3.5 tutties per game. Oh, yeah, and his offense has put up 40.5 points in the first two games. Somehow they lost the first one to Buffalo. Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, not a running back, we honor you on QBIQ.
I feel like it's extremely important. It's an NFL game, you know, and wild things happen throughout Sundays, man, Mondays, whatever it is, people playing. But we just try to, like I said last week, we should have kept it going, you know, but this week, that's what we did. We got the job done, and shout out to all phases because everyone played their part.
That was a team that put the Cleveland Browns to bed, unlike putting the Buffalo Bills to bed with their second half performance in week one. Stubb, is there a quarterback you'd like to highlight on QBIQ?
Big Baker Mayfield guy.
I am too.
A fantastic story, a really fun team led by him. Great receivers that he's got to go to, but he's a clutch player. He's at like a Jaden Daniels Mahomes level fourth quarter go down and win the game kind of thing. He's been killing it in the first 2 weeks. The yards aren't quite there, but you can very consistently count on him.
Yeah, and his story is so inspiring, and they talked about it slightly on the broadcast. He needs to have an ESPN sit down with him, a legit one-on-one, and go through how difficult it must have been at the end of his career in Cleveland. After he had them at 11-5, falls off the map, you know, basically that 2021 season in Cleveland. Not all his fault, right? He lost a lot of his weapons, but he finished this year 6-8. And then he gets moved around. Carolina. LA comes in, and there was that weird story where he started a game on 3 days of just getting to LA, right?
Yeah, led a 99-yard game-winning touchdown drive. That's just what he does. Favorite clip of the this week also was, it looked like he went down injured, and then C.J. Gardner-Johnson was smack-talking, and the injury went away, so he could yell back.
I know.
I love Baker
so
Mayfield,
crazy.
Dude.
And then the other thing you have to mention is, you know what must have been difficult for Baker Mayfield? Not just losing your job in Cleveland after being a top pick, you know, moving to Carolina, not being used, moving to L.A., getting an opportunity. How about going to Tampa Bay and replacing Tom
You're
Brady?
Following Tom Brady.
And just winning the division every year. I mean, he deserves so much credit
Easy
for
division,
that.
But come on, dude.
Yeah. Inside the mind of the NFL quarterback, here's Baker Mayfield talking about that incredible fourth down scramble on the game-winning drive.
Yeah, just obviously they did a good job adding on the press. It wasn't like a all-out zero blitz, but when the back blocks, the backer and man coverage adds on. So fortunately, was able to get out of that one and get through. Just seeing green grass and fourth down, two-minute drive, trying to do anything it takes to get a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, fourth down, you never want your quarterback ducking because there's pressure all over him. Baker, and he's done this before. He did this against Washington last year and in the postseason. We always talk about edge rushers and D tackles having gap rush integrity. If you make that mistake, Baker burns you like he's Lamar Jackson.
He
understands the gaps and the lanes that are available.
He trucked Bobby Wagner in a playoff game.
I know. I love that kid.
I get so psyched for this dude.
He's got moxie.
Yeah.
All right, let's close out QBIQ with the star of Thursday Night Football. We all wanted it to be Jaden Daniels, but it certainly was Jordan Love, quarterback one for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, we had a goal coming into the season to start the season off fast and build on the things we've done last year. And obviously, I think we got a really good offense. And we've been talking about, the sky's the limit. And obviously, it just comes down to coming out here in the games and executing. We've been doing a good job of just executing and making plays. And we got so many playmakers. We're really deep on offense. And just got to find ways to go out there and, execute against good defenses like them. So, it's one of those things that you just got to show up every Sunday and go make plays. But I think it's just going to keep building our confidence going forward. One of the things, we just got to keep going.
I mean, he sounds even just so much more mature than he has been in the last few years. He understands what it's going to take now, I think, to win in this National Football League. I think the playoff loss was like a setback that he needed that helped him take a step forward. But I think he mentioned it, and I think you have to talk about it. The Green Bay Packers start to the season has been incredible. Everybody's talking about it, right? They're 2-0 with two wins over playoff teams last year. One had 15 wins, one had 12, and made it to the conference championship game. What's not getting enough run is the fact that the first two drives of both games for the Green Bay Packers have ended in points. Touchdown on the first drive of the game against the Lions, 12 plays, 83 yards, perfection, 6 points. Next drive, 7 plays and a field goal. Against Washington, they went down the field, they missed it on fourth down. Then they go right down the field, the most impressive drive of the game, seven plays, 96 yards, started at the four-yard line, took 4 minutes off the clock, and gotten in the end zone. That's how you win games. You get off to a great start.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a consensus top three team in the NFL right now in every power ranking, and Jordan Love's leading them. I mean, the defense maybe is number one right now, but he's absolutely doing his job on offense.
Yeah, one thing we didn't talk about last week, and we probably should have, the winner of that game was going to be in the MVP conversation, and we thought it would be Jaden. Jordan Love deserves to be in the MVP conversation He's probably
third in the race right now.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, that was QBIQ on The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most football talk in town. You've got the Commanders, Virginia Tech, and the Hoos, and of course the 804 broadcast game of the week. Our buddy Gary Hess has been on the call for more than 30 years. We love Gary, and he will be back next week with us here on his normal Wednesday drive down Richmond Highway with the Czar. Taking his place, filling in for Gary Hess, is our other favorite Gary, Gary Criswell. Coach Gary Criswell with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. You can hear him alongside Gary Hess for the 804 broadcast game of the week here on The Fan. What's going on, Coach?
I will tell you one thing. I'm very, very excited about this game because I think Gary and I have done this game in the regular season since we've been together. I think it's now 17 years or something like that. I think we've done it something like 14 out of the 17 years, and it's usually in the first part of the season as it is this year. So we're very excited to have Verona visiting Hermitage. It's kind of a home game for us because we live close to Hermitage, and it's going to be I think it's going to be a great football game because of the where these two teams find themselves.
What is the history in this matchup here? You mentioned you broadcast that game a ton.
Yeah, it's you know, the funny thing of it is I'll start from the present and work backwards. The both head coaches played for their coaching at their alma mater, and both were instrumental in the rise of those programs. Those programs peaked. Marcus Lewis was a teammate with Mike Robinson, for instance. Tim John Pierre had a myriad of players with him. A lot of guys with Division I scholarships. He got a Division II scholarship. He's back at his alma mater. He's been coaching track for a long time. Been an assistant coach through a couple of head coach jobs, and now he gets a chance to have his own team. And I think he's in his fourth year this year. And they've shown a lot of promise, but there's a lot of question marks going into this game.
Coach Gary Criswell with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Check them out, the 804 broadcast game of the week, Thursday nights for the Thursday night walkthrough. And also, please follow them on Facebook. And I love the content that you guys bring going to a game or leaving a game. I watched the entire post-game interview with the head coach of Dinwiddie, Billy Mills, after that huge win versus Highland Springs. What were some of your takeaways from that big win?
Well, first of all, Dinwiddie has completely recovered from the loss of their, you know, the all-world quarterback, Harry Dalton, who, by the way, as soon as he became eligible, there was some kind of snafu with the paperwork, because I know academically he was qualified and all. But as soon as he was able to be activated, he immediately started getting turns at running back at USC.
Yeah.
So he's out on the West Coast now, so we're very, very excited. And by the way, that's a trend. 804 players are making their marks in the NFL, and now Harry's out on the West Coast. And, that's part of the history. And Dinwiddie did a great job of putting pieces together to not necessarily replace him, but just to change the way they're attacking. It had a lot of balance, and they were able to match Holland Springs move for move, big play for big play, and they ended up winning in overtime. And they showed some things on defense and offense that you don't see very often. And I was really encouraged with that. So they're going to be something to watch very closely in Division Four. And shout out to their fans. Literally, Dinwiddie streets were must have been empty because the stands at Vic 2.0 were full.
That's great to hear. Coach Chris, you mentioned the guys doing well in the NFL. I mean, T.J. Warren stands out, rookie Travion Henderson. But I wanted to mention that when I was watching Red Zone over the weekend, they did like a little feature on Ketrell Clark for Arizona and the fact that he got into the game and played well.
Yes, he's a kid from Manchester. We remember him well from those good Manchester teams. I believe he was one of the instrumental guys in their state championship team. He went to Liberty and then found better pastures at Louisville, and quite honestly, the upgrade in schedule helped him, erase some doubts he had, and he's been a hot commodity. I think St. Louis. This is how old I am. I think the Cardinals. I think he was their second stop, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, yeah, he's fit in real well. And of course, we've got Greg Dortch returning kicks and giving them a little fly sweep, and he'll be instrumental before it's all over with, because he has a lot of answers for any offensive coordinator.
We're driving down Richmond Highway with Gary Criswell with us here on a Wednesday, September 17th. I always ask the czar, Gary Hess, this. High school football spotlight locally. Is there a coach or player you want to give a shout-out to?
Oh, wow. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are building programs, that are starting to build programs. Billy Rudd, I've known him since he was our player of the game 1 year. I've known him since he was a punter on the and place kicker on Meadowbrook State Championship team. He's again a homegrown guy. He's come back, and now the all his work is starting to pay off. They've started off 2-0. They're going to have a tough schedule in the Central District, but we're thrilled to death with those guys. And you know what? As we go from Friday to Friday, we see things that all of a sudden kind of catch our eye, coach, with a little bit of spark and stuff like that. And Gary's gotten to develop a nose for that type of thing as well. And we just, it's week to week. We see stuff that we really like about the programs that, entertain us on Friday nights.
The Highland Springs Springers are not afraid to challenge anybody, and they will be taking on my high school, the South County Stallions. What's your preview for that one?
It's a tough time to catch them because they're going to be smarting a little bit, because the game with Dinwiddie on both sides, whoever lost that game was going to be able to point to a myriad of things that could have gone right for them. The Springers are definitely road warriors, and I look for them to rebound. But I will tell you, the Highland Springs Springers are going to be fine, but they're in a Division V race here locally that's dominated by our local teams, and there's not going to be a whole lot of room for any more upsets. But the Springers looked really good at times, and I expect them to rebound very, very well. And speaking of traveling on and being on the road, Verona has left the 804 or has played non-804 teams in all three of their games, including, and the only home game was against Maury. And they've played two different area codes, and contrasting to Hermitage, their opponent, Hermitage plays all 804 schools this year. So it's interesting how people plot their course to get into playoffs, because that's what everybody's goal is.
Coach Chris, thanks so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
always good. You know, you don't have to rub it in that I'm Hess's substitute, though.
You know I miss him.
He's a pretty good guy to back up to, I can tell you.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Hey, and backup quarterbacks still make millions of dollars, Coach.
Yes, they do, and I can carry a clipboard like a champ.
Well, thank you so much for the time. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most NFL talk in town. And tomorrow night, you'll hear the Thursday night broadcast for Thursday night football via Westwood One right here on The Fan. Dolphins-Bills to kick off week three as we go around the National Football League right now with our three-star, two-star, one-star, and our dud NFL game of the week. What is the dud sounder stub for those listening right now? Yeah, we're going to skip that game. Thursday night football, though, there's only one thing on. I feel like normally that would be a dud because I think all of us are in agreement that the Bills are just going to mollywop the Dolphins on Thursday night. The line is 11.5.
Which feels generous to Miami there.
I might even take that right now. This would be your dud game, right?
I think so. I'd need to look a little bit further ahead.
I'm going
to
give it a star because it's Thursday night. Football is the only thing on TV. But also, I'm coming off of a week where I truly feel that Thursday night football is just bad for the league. It's a bad product. It's bad for the players. It's bad for the coaches. It's just not good. I don't know, like, was it great as a kid, or was it just the fact that you wake up the next day and it's Friday?
It's just another day of football, which is I want that. You know, like Tuesday, yeah. Wednesday, it's like, there's no football today. That sucks. But
do you feel like football on Thursday nights has gotten worse, or is this what it's always been?
It's always been bad. There's always the talk of just throw them on there. You get the Titans-Jaguars on there every year, right?
Al Michaels is, like, not helping things
well,
either.
Well, the prime help, the prime switch has not been, it's not been as smooth as they wanted it to be. And I still have people, a.k.a. my dad, asked me how to get the Thursday night game. He doesn't realize you can also get it on Twitch.
You want to teach your dad what Twitch is?
I had to once when I was working for them. It was not easy. He was like, where are these damn comments? Just give me the product. We'll move past the Raiders-Commanders. We'll be talking about that all day tomorrow and Friday. Packers-Browns, one star.
Yeah, I expect a pretty sizable Packers win here.
It's in Cleveland. And this could be the last Joe Flacco start, I think. There's definitely a chance for that. But, yeah, it just doesn't feel like a good contest at all. Colts-Titans is, like, kind of intriguing. So, number one, it's a divisional matchup. I'll give you a star for that.
Right.
Number two, Daniel Jones has been a star, has statistically been the second-best quarterback in the National Football League through 2 weeks. So, you're going to give me another star for that. And it's not worth three stars.
No.
But I do love Nissan Stadium in Nashville, Tennessee. Every time they're at home, I need to tell people go to that game.
I'm not going
to
fight you on a two there. Cam Ward is exciting as he gets there. I mean, he took a step forward in week two. I expect another step in week three. I don't think Daniel Jones will sustain this all season. I think a sneaky Titans victory is possible.
I also think that I'm not going to overreact if he has another great performance, because I don't think the Titans' defense is very good.
Yep.
Bengals are 2-0. Vikings are 1-1. It's the battle of the backups. That's one star. It's not a dud, because anything can happen in the NFL, especially when backups are playing. But you cannot give it more than one star when it's two backups.
I just got a Survivor pick email from Rob that says the Bengals have never beaten the Vikings in Minnesota in history.
And he's taking it?
I don't know if he's taking it.
Yeah,
but
he's just giving the stat out there. Yeah, that's why we do the Survivor pool. Everybody in the building is contributing. You'll
a really
love
interesting stat.
It is. I mean, Minnesota's got a good home field advantage. I want to make that trip this year. I was going to go, and then we got blown out by the Packers, and I was like, well, maybe I don't want to go back to the Midwest, but I want to go to that stadium, and I have a bunch of friends that are Vikings fans. Steelers-Patriots, 1 o'clock from Foxborough, Massachusetts. I'm going to say two stars. One of them's Aaron Rodgers, and the other is I'm interested in watching Drake May. I haven't, like, sat down and watched a full Drake May game yet this year.
No, I mean, I watched him through Red Zone last week. Obviously, the week before, I think he was playing the same time as Commanders, but...
Have you enjoyed Red Zone?
Yeah, If the Commanders aren't playing, it's what I prefer. If I'm in a group, if I'm alone, I'll put on a game. But yeah, this time I was with like three other people. It's that, fun in a part. Like,
no, but that's the answer right there. Yeah. Because Sunday, there was no Commanders game. It was all red zone all day at my house. And the 4 o'clock, I think, window, my buddies came over and red zone was cool. We were all talking about the 1 o'clock games and watching.
Out.
But the 1 o'clock slate red zone was pissing me off. It was like not showing the games I want to watch. And then I was just like, you know what? The Giants-Cowboys game is good enough. I'm going to turn that on. Like at the second, I watched the entire second half of that game, which was the game of the week, rather than red zone.
That's a strat, too. You put on red zone, you figure out what the best game is, and then you switch to that.
And then you switch to it, yeah. But also, I mean, I am elite on remotes at knowing when to hit the last button. So every commercial break, I get to red zone, and then I time it just right.
If I'm alone, I'm picking a game. I'm not watching red zone alone.
Rams-Eagles, 3-star game. Both teams undefeated. A rematch of the NFC Divisional Championship, in which everybody says, and I agree, the Rams had the best chance of beating the Eagles. The Matthew Stafford went down the field.
Super close game.
Problem was he got sacked like 3 times on that drive. Well, but this is 3-star game for you?
Oh, 100%.
Jeremy? Maybe,
like...
Yeah, absolutely.
Borderline game of the week. I need to look ahead, but I think it might be.
Hey, we don't call it the
game
of the week.
We don't call it yet.
We call it the certified NFL game of the week that we give out Fridays on AWOD Radio. Jets are 0-2. They travel to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers with Baker Mayfield, and he is cooking. I'm going to give that a 1-star matchup. That might be actually my survivor pick. I feel really good about
Tampa,
the Bucs.
Yeah.
Because, right, we know that Justin Fields has a concussion. Has he been ruled out, or it's just...
Yeah, I believe during the show
he has been ruled out.
Yeah.
Luckily, Jaden hasn't been ruled out yet. That would be crushing. Falcons, Panthers, 1 o'clock on Fox. Jeremy, I'll ask you, how many stars are you giving this one?
The Falcons-Panthers game, it's a division matchup. That's a 2-star. That's a 2-star right there.
Ooh.
Oh.
I'm going to give it... I'd probably say 1.5.
I border on 1. I need to see something from Bryce Young before I get excited for him to play football again.
Bryce Young doesn't get me excited.
Atlanta's fun to watch.
1 star for Michael Penix, and then I'll agree with his 2 stars because I am a proud owner of Bijan Robinson in fantasy.
Yeah, me too. So I've loved watching him.
Texans-Jags, 1 o'clock on CBS. Man, this 1 o'clock slate is filled with games. Texans-Jags is a divisional matchup. And then, look, Texans are desperate for their first victory of the season. Because of that, I think the desperation makes this 2 stars.
I do, too. I think it's borderline 3. I think
it's
the Texans step up, and the Jaguars are a sneaky, fun team this year.
Yeah. I mean, Liam Cohen taking over in charge of Duval. All right, the 4 o'clock slate has 4 matchups, which means quad box. Broncos-Chargers. That's a 3-star game for me.
That's a 3-star game, yeah.
Saints-Seahawks. That could be your dud.
That could be your dud. That's my survivor pick, though.
Yeah.
Seahawks for sure.
So are you sticking with the theme of picking against the Saints?
Yeah, I didn't actually last week because I was worried about Mac Jones.
Yeah.
I realize I'm 3-for-3 on birds, though. The Cardinals, the Ravens, and the Seahawks. Three straight birds.
All right. Cowboys-Bears. I think you have to say 2 stars. It's a good matchup there. Because the Bears are favored here, that's actually blown my mind.
I know they're
home. Favored because they're at home. That if this game was in Dallas, it would be Dallas minus like 6. I feel like.
I think it's a 3-point swing for home, so 4.5 is what it's looking like.
Yeah, Cardinals 49ers 425 on Fox. You got to give that a 2-star matchup right there.
I would. Yeah.
I'm not going to give that 3. Chiefs Giants. Russell Wilson, can he do it again? Throw for 400 yards and lose. Yes, he can.
I mean, if the
throw
Giants
for 400 yards and lose.
If the Giants in Kansas City to 0-3, what a conversation we're having.
I mean, one of those teams is going to be 0-3. Yeah. I would put money on the Chiefs to win that game. So I'll say, what did we say? 2-star?
Yeah, I think that's
Lions-Ravens is a 3-star Monday night football game. So Saints-Seahawks, I'm locking that in as our dud. Not worth your time sitting in front of the TV. Stay tuned to 910 The Fan on Friday. We give out the AWOD Radio Certified NFL Game of the Week. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back on the phone.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe.
That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the Commanders, and we're into the season, and the big question I have is whether it will be Marcus Mariota or Jayden Daniels suiting up as QB1 on Sunday. But there's also a decision to be made. The D.C. Council will take its final vote Wednesday afternoon, today, on the Washington Commanders stadium deal. The RFK stadium deal faces the final vote with the city leaders confident. Now, the Commanders put out a statement. They're a little bit worried here. We're going to find out an answer today, by the end of the day today. But what I thought this was very interesting and worth playing on air. B. Mitch and Finley had Mark Seagraves, reporter from NBC4, on to talk about the RFK stadium vote scheduled for today. He talked about the changes to the deal, all right, that are causing issues for the team and the city. All right. He also mentioned that the president could get involved. I think this is worth playing. Let's take a listen. Mark Seagraves on B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
Councilmember Brooke Pinto, during the breakfast meeting discussions, made that very point, that D.C., in her determination, does not want to be known as a city that can't get along with the business community, and can't do public-private partnerships, and can't be trusted when they reach a deal. My guess is that most of these amendments will not pass, but they'll take hours to debate, and we won't know until the end. But if any of them do, it'll be up to the Commanders to decide whether they want to go along with them. And look, here's what's lurking in the background. I'm on the top floor of the Wilson Building here at 14th and Pennsylvania Avenue, and I'm looking out this window at the White House. You know, it is not out of the realm of possibilities that the President of the United States and the Congress could just say, hey, D.C. is screwing this up. We want it to happen. It's our land. We're just going to step in. And at that point, there is a fear that some people have discussed with me that if the President does get involved, that he would make changing the name back to the old name part of the deal. And I can tell you on background, I'm told both team officials and city officials don't want, one, they don't want federal interference, and they don't want to be compelled to change the name back. They want to get this deal done today, get it done, get it signed, get it delivered, and just start putting a shovel in the ground and not have to worry about federal interference.
They need to get it done today. I mean, that's the takeaway right there. I don't want the president to get involved. I don't. But the name change conversation just will never go away. A lot of us thought winning would change that. No, it's never going to go away, and especially if he gets involved now in the stadium. I need this to get done today. We've got a game coming up on Sunday, and Jayden Daniels did hit his marks today, right? Do we have the audio from Dan Quinn that we could run it back? Because he basically said, today was a positive day. Jayden will not practice, but he hit his marks. He was on the field throwing the football, and then did some workouts with them in terms of acceleration and deceleration. He will have to keep taking steps forward. Dan Quinn said he will have to get onto the practice field with have live reps with his teammates if he's going to play Sunday. He could end up practicing tomorrow or Friday. We will not hear again from Dan Quinn until after Friday's practice for one final assessment. But right now, QB1, if the game was played today, is Marcus Mariota, and he's sitting down with the media. When I was told this report that it would be Marcus Mariota over Jayden Daniels, I thought it was a big deal. Then we talked with Michael Phillips, who's covered this team extensively for 15 years. Somebody's got to talk to the media. It's Wednesday, and you don't want Jayden Daniels answering a million questions about his injury. Here is Marcus Mariota.
DQ was in here a little earlier and said he's got the utmost confidence in you, and you've been called on last year and played well. How much does the support mean to you this week? Like a week filled with uncertainty, as it sounds like they're going to see how Jayden's injury is progressing.
It's huge, really. I think that's what's been awesome about this team. We kind of preach it every single day, but just the brotherhood, the connection, regardless of how this situation plays out, just knowing that the guys have my back gives me confidence to just go out there and be myself and play to the best of my abilities.
With you and Jaden are obviously different people, different quarterbacks. There's no Austin out there. Noah's dealing with injury. John Bates. Like, how different could a game look like with you than Jaden out there?
Again, we just have to wait and see. But, you know, what's been nice is we've been able to kind of keep things very similar, regardless of who's playing at the position, even during preseason. And if it comes down to it, Cliff will ask me what things I like, what I don't like, and then we'll just roll. But from that standpoint, from an offensive standpoint, like with our abilities across the quarterback room, like it's been nice the fact that we can kind of keep the same system throughout each guy.
Marcus, how have you felt physically, and kind of can you walk us through the preseason, and when did you feel really like you're back to yourself?
Yeah, I would say I started to kind of feel like myself over the course of the last couple of weeks. You know, it's one of those things with the tendonitis, you just kind of have to rest, and the team was willing to kind of let me do that through training camp. We do a great job of getting a bunch of walkthrough reps. So for me, from a mental standpoint, like I felt like I was always engaged. And
that was Marcus Mariota. Grant and Danny will have more. They're coming up next here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.